Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. So, hey crew, new year, new decade. Let's have some new Pure Dog Talk promos while we're at it, shall we? All right. Our patrons group continues to grow and thrive. It's like the NPR of dogdom. It's so cool. And Pure Dog Talk offers you, my loyal listeners, an opportunity to get in on the fun. Pure Dog Talk patrons are invited to join a closed Facebook chat group just for you. And I promise you, no drama mamas, no keyboard warriors, just fabulous, supportive, Pure Dog Talk fans. That's it. Each month, I pick a photo submitted by our patrons group to be the cover image on the Facebook page. You guys have seen it. And anybody with a quick question gets immediate feedback from moi, personally, as well as input from the array of patron group members. Pretty fun. The patrons group also gets first dibs on podcast topic suggestions. So if you have something you want to hear about, that's a good way to do it. And to celebrate the new year, I'm adding a whole new technological challenge to my life. Oh my God. I will be hosting Facebook Live discussions for patrons only on the final Monday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific time zone.
Yeah, baby, yeah!
Y'all join us from wherever you are, but that's when they'll be. Just a few of our planned topics of conversation include advertising on a shoestring budget. Yeah, trust me, we can talk about that. Campaigning a special just for owner handlers. Problem solving the stack. Tricks of the trade for grooming, like what products do I like or anybody else like. Open mic Q&As, all that kind of stuff. What you guys need to know is that the generosity of Pure Dog Talk's patrons is literally what keeps the MP3s running here. The money is set aside exclusively for overhead and operational expenses. That's it. Now, I'm incredibly grateful to our corporate sponsors. You have no idea. They have the dedication to purebred dogs and the resources to ensure that Pure Dog Talk remains a powerful voice for purebred dogs. That you guys, y'all believed in this mission, and you've supported it from the beginning. You are the heart and soul of my crusade to provide all purebred dog lovers a constantly growing, challenging treasure trove of knowledge in a 21st century format.
Like a real world.
So, just click the Be My Patron on Podbean button on the website. It's quick, it's easy, it's secure. And I hope to see all of you on the next Facebook Live chat. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I'm your host, Laura Reeves, and I have one of our favorite returning guests. I'm super excited. Dale Martinson is back to talk with us again, Touché Japanese Chin. And today we're going to talk about some stuff that I think is really important. And we've been seeing some pretty scary situations, I think, in our midst. People who are award-winning breeders and really good, solid breeders that are under attack, I don't think is really too strong from outside groups. Right, Dale?
That's absolutely true. And it's so great to be back. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm super glad you're back. And so we wanted to talk today about how can we protect ourselves? What are the things that we need to do in our standards of care, in our interactions with each other, and in our interactions with the public that will help put us on a safe footing that will hopefully keep us from being that next person?
Well, I think for starters, we have to have an honest evaluation, and we really need to look around and see what the public perceives. And I think handlers also fall into any of our dog show professionals, breeders, handlers, fall into our standards of animal care.
Right.
And what the public and our officials think a kennel should look like. And that right now, what maybe was acceptable in the 80s and the 90s would no longer really be acceptable today.
Okay, so I think that's a really good point, Dale. So let's talk about that specifically. So let's say, you know, I've got my dog building and I've got great big dog crates for everybody and great big paddocks that they go out and run in. And how are we seeing it change as what the public perceives here?
For starters, let's do a market analysis.
There you go.
And just take around and look and see when you go look at a boarding kennel that's advertised on social media, TV, and they're talking about open concept, cage free. Mm-hmm. This is where people are thinking of a doggy hotel. They're thinking of light, bright, open spaces. They're thinking about animals enjoying a quality of life. When they think of a kennel, they're envisioning their dog in your facility.
Right.
And if that is upsetting or horrifying to them, then you potentially have a problem.
Right. And with the understanding that what someone in the general public thinks of as upsetting or horrifying to us may seem perfectly normal.
Well, yes, because we have been in that monkey house for a very long time.
Exactly.
And so we might be willing to sit there and throw our sandwich on the grooming table and eat while we're sitting on crates and have lunch and not think anything else.
And what's wrong with that exactly? I really want to know.
But where somebody else would be thinking, oh my God, this is horrific.
Right.
But I think that we really need to look and see, what does this look like? And because this happens a lot in times when people become older, and we are our brother's keepers in this. Because every time we hear one of the salacious stories about somebody who is famous or a very successful longtime person ending up in trouble, that is when we as a community as a whole have failed. Mm. Because we need to be there in a little bit of a way, lifting each other up and kind of helping, and maybe sometimes even saying something a little bit truthful.
Right.
And where we can go ahead and kind of say, well, we just repainted that. Well, actually, no, that was 8 years ago.
Right.
And we just redid those runs. Well, it's time to do it again because they're starting to show age and rust. And when people look at them, they don't look so good. You know, our stuff gets old.
We get old.
We get old. And we don't notice it because it happens slowly around
right.
us over time. And we just think, oh, well, we can fix that. We can fix that. And it gets ahead of us.
Mm-hmm.
You don't actually have to have a license to drive a car. But if you get in trouble while you're driving that car, having that license certainly is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that when you have dogs, a kennel, a boarding facility, anything time that you can have licensure, you can have objective eyes, and you are giving your dogs legal standing. Maybe this is a little extra work for you, but when you go ahead and have a kennel license, like in our state of Oklahoma, we have to have a kennel license.
Right.
And so we have to keep up on our rabies shots. It's not hard, and it's just one of those things that it gives our dogs legal standing where we have a right to have them. So when someone comes in and says, well, they had 19 dogs in their extra bedroom or in their basement, the public doesn't take well to this.
Right.
So having a licensed facility, having an inspected facility, and I think the American Kennel Club has done a lot as far as like starting to do inspections and trying to encourage people, not so much as to try to cause them trouble, but to try to help them from ending up in trouble.
Well, and I think you were talking earlier about handlers, PHA and AKC Registered Handler Programs, both part of the licensure, again, since we're on this topic, those are organizations that inspect kennels, that inspect vehicles, that actually having that says, yes, this person is meeting a very specific set of criteria.
Yes, absolutely. The problem with that is it's very optional and people, it's never a problem until it's a problem.
Right.
So since that really can't be rewarded in the ring as far as results, but it's supposed to be rewarded with support of customers and clients, and in actuality, they can pay a little less money and they don't have to use somebody that's keeping them in crates in their garage,
mm-hmm.
people tend to want to cut corners. because the dog people especially, we maybe have a little bit different eye on what is acceptable than what the public is. They're thinking veterinary hospital, boarding kennel, right, that type of thing is how the dog should be kept. And so when they go in and see animals being housed in crates, I myself personally, I don't crate very many dogs. The only if something is maybe going on, maybe a dog is getting a medical treatment or something like that. My dogs have runs. I don't like crate. If you keep your dogs in crates, you have got a really high bar of care. I mean, how many hours a day are they actually in those crates?
Right.
How big are those crates? What does that exactly look like?
Right.
Because to the public, a dog that's in a crate 23 hours a day, that would be abuse.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, so here's our downside. Let's talk about our upside. What is it? What are we aiming for? What are we trying to present to the public? What is our goal? Talk to us about your facility. I know you have a good number of dogs, so let's use you as an example, if you will.
Absolutely. I think that embracing the inspections and the licensing with open eyes and receiving criticism, constructive and otherwise, is a big plus. When you are putting together your facility to keep the dogs, you really need to have this facility that fits your breed and your climate. Like my little 24-inch X-Pens for Japanese Chin probably would not work so well with your German wire hair pointers.
No.
Yeah. No. That would be more like a suggestion.
It's not even a suggestion. That's just a hurdle.
It would be one small step. So when you really know what you need to keep your dogs in, how you need to maintain them, how you need to keep them healthy and happy, then also take that extra step. I enjoy signs and plants and stuff. So my kennel is a bit, I got a garden and plants and I'm in there a lot. I spend a lot of time in there.
Right.
And I think that if you make your kennel where you want to be, it's a nicer place. It's a nicer place for you. It's a nicer place for the
dog. You spend more time with it. Right. No, I like that. I like that. That's really kind of a nice way of thinking. One of the kennel buildings I had when I was in Nebraska, we really did have that, all the stuff on the walls and the couch, and we'd hang out with the dogs and all of that. I really like that.
You have to incorporate it into your living space and make it somewhere where you are, because you will keep it nicer. You will spend more time there. And by virtue of just more hands on it. I think the other thing is, by the time, and this is something that we see happen often, is if you're going to have a number of dogs, whatever that number might be, you need to figure in, because we've already said it's okay to sell your puppies and have a little money from your dogs.
Right.
Part of what your expense should go into is keeping that facility up, keeping that nice, and hiring kennel help. Pay for help. I mean, these dogs are worth tens of thousands of dollars and sometimes priceless. And you really can't cut corners on that. If you're hiring help that you're not aware of, that you don't know, this is not someone that you know intimately that comes in, then perhaps maybe you should take an extra moment, do a little bit of background check on them. Some of the stores and some of the places actually have non-disclosure agreements and I saw on part of that accepting of liability statements. So if someone takes a picture of a dog that they're supposed to be caring for on your facility and then shares this in some sort of inhumane way, that they are legally responsible for that as an employee.
Interesting.
I mean, because we see this happen all the time.
Right.
Where somebody that hires an hourly employee, they get dismissed or it doesn't work out. And then they share pictures, and who knows? I mean, because anything can be made to look good and anything can be made to look bad.
Right. Disgruntled employees, I think all of us have that nightmare vision, right?
Exactly. It's a scary thing to do. You have to pay them enough. I mean, I've been very blessed. We pay well, but the people that have been with us for 16, 17 years.
Right.
But that's something that you have to really, invest in the help that you know that you can count on. And invest in help that has consequences. So like if you go and maybe get some FFA kids from school, that kind of thing where you do a little work on it, make sure, get the help you need to make sure that everything is taken care of in the manner in which it should be.
And, you know, I think it's really important to put in here that there's basics. Yes, you have to pick up the poop every day. You know, yes, you have to clean the runs every day. So give us some of the other high level things that sometimes we forget about, like our X-Pens that are beaten up and we've had for 20 years. Maybe it's time for them to have a Rust-Oleum coating or something.
Well, absolutely. And depending as to our level of participation and what our goals are, we should probably figure in, along with having our dogs, what new equipment stuff. I mean, I repaint every year. Jane says we're going to just keep painting that until the walls touch each other. But I like it. I think it's just something we do is set money aside.
Right.
And we just repaint it. You know, it keeps things nice.
Right.
And keep a spiral notebook. And as you see things, write them down.
Right.
To say, we've got a broken latch. We've got some rusty wire. And, you know, some of the stuff can be done on a budget. Like there's one lady that I know, the bottoms of her chain link runs were getting a little rusty. She flipped them, put the tops on the bottoms. She cut the tops down a little bit and repainted them. She got more use out of that. There's many ways of
being frugal about it. Right.
Exactly. You don't have to just throw everything away, but you do have to keep it up.
I can actually remember having done that with other runs. I was like, yeah, I've done that.
Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute.
Heads up, crew. Pure Dog Talk is thrilled to welcome Embark as a major sponsor of the podcast. So Embark Veterinary is a DNA testing service that's focused on helping breeders and purebred dog enthusiasts understand and improve the genetic health of their dogs. After using Embark's simple cheek swab process, breeders receive an easy-to-understand, comprehensive report on the genetic health, diversity, and the traits of their dogs. Cool. As part of this report, breeders also gain access to Embark's breeder-exclusive matchmaking tool, and that allows them to assess potential mates and better understand litter outcomes from possible breeding pairs. Extra cool. Embark makes it easy to understand your dog's DNA results by providing breeders with access to an in-house team of veterinary geneticists, extra, extra cool, for individualized genetic counseling and personalized guidance on how best to apply your dog's Embark results to your breeding program. From improving the long-term health of your breeding program to increasing genetic diversity in your breed, Embark is with you every step of the way. You know, let's talk too about some of the maintenance things that people tend to forget about that help keep equipment in good condition, right? Cleaning it properly, doing the upkeep, you know, what rusts out your kennel runs? Urine. So that kind of a stuff, right?
Absolutely. So the first thing that we find to make the kennel a more pleasant place and to keep your smell and everything down,
yep,
is your ammonia content.
Right.
And your ammonia content, ventilation, and humidity. So we run dehumidifiers all year long because between washing dogs, washing runs, washing machine, you know, all of the moisture, get the moisture out of the air.
Right.
Your air exchange is crucial. You can get your air exchange, your air quality better. Because, you know, I mean, that's what inspectors and people that are going to be looking at. Mm-hmm. They're going to be looking for your air quality. Does it smell? And this will make a healthier dog. This will make a place that's more enjoyable for you to be in as well. And then the next thing is, we want lighting.
Right.
We want to be able to see. When people go into a kennel and it is the black hole of Calcutta, that's not appealing.
Right.
So invest a little bit in some good lighting. That will make a world of difference. Because, you know, honestly, you'll be able to see the things that,
that need fixed, that you didn't really want to know were there. You're like, no. Yeah.
Absolutely. And then we go ahead and we have on a rotation every 10 weeks, we pull everything away from the wall because, you know, it looks pretty good until you start sliding that stuff out. And you go, damn.
That's a lot of hair and dirt back here.
Can we move that on back? Yeah, that was better before, you know. But move it out, clean it out behind. I mean, after you're done with it, you'll feel so much better, mm-hmm, about it because it's like, you know, it's really clean. as far as like parasites and rodents.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like falling downstairs. Once you hit the first step and take care of that, then the second step is easier. And
right.
You just keep on.
Right.
By the time you hit the bottom, you have a clean, nice smelling, well-lit place for your animals.
Mm-hmm.
Because keep up on your rodent, on your stuff like that.
Oh, I mean, that's really the one that makes me crazy. Mice make me insane. I have constant battle with these little buggers. Jeez.
We are on 50 acres and we have fabulously fed mice. And we're always working on it. It's part of our kennel expense is the exterminator.
Yeah.
You know, I don't mind paying. We're going to spray for the ticks.
Right.
We're going to keep the bait stations going.
Right.
You know, those are all things because as it gets ahead of you.
Yes.
These are things that can roll into situations where you're keeping your dogs at jeopardy.
Yeah.
Because those would be things that would not pass an inspection.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's instantly.
Then take a good look around and say, what do we have? Do we have fire extinguishers clearly
yes.
marked and hanging?
Yes.
That's something that every year go through, check how many fire, are they still charged? Does everybody know where they are? Because
yep.
kennel fires are just always a tragedy.
Well, and, you know, that's something when you're traveling, even if you're not a professional handler, even if you're just Joe Person driving down the road with your show dog, in your van, you should have a fire extinguisher with you at all times.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When you're traveling with your animals, it's like traveling with your kids. You're going to bring animal crackers. You're going to bring the things you need.
Right.
But like when you're traveling with your dogs, you're going to want to have the things you're going to need to be able to take care of them, whether that's Imodium, Flagyl. You know, if we have something that's more fragile, sometimes we'll carry dexamethasone with us. Anything
right.
that because if something gets bit, you know, by a spider or whatever, you have that much time to do something about it.
Right.
And to keep that from being a tragedy. So I think you really just have to kind of a little bit, when you have the animals, you have to look around the corners a little bit and you kind of have to make a plan. The AKC inspections, which maybe started out with one idea, but have really gotten to be much more of a customer service visitation.
Mm.
You know, a couple of years ago, our inspector that we've had forever said, well, do you have an emergency plan? And I really sat down and thought about that. Like, well, you know what? That's probably a really good idea.
Right.
Have the vet's number, have this number,
yep.
have that number, have your utilities numbers.
Yep.
All of that kind of stuff that you might need to have on a moment's notice, and you might not be there.
Well, and here's a thing, and I've talked about this on other podcasts, but particularly where I live here in Southern Oregon, we have forest fires. And forest fires are very real, and they're a very real possibility at my house. I mean, we had a couple of years ago, we took an evacuation. We loaded all 15 dogs into the motorhome and went to the coast because it was close enough that if it had come up in the middle of the night, there is no way we could have gotten all of us and all the dogs and all of everybody loaded and out in time to get away from it. And so having a plan of action, knowing where your crates are, knowing where your leashes are. Leashes are my big bugaboo. Hang your leashes where you can get them in a hurry. I mean, always think about those things.
Having that extra set of equipment or collapsible crates that you can throw together when you need to fast.
Yep.
Really to have that. And I'm not even saying that when people come out, you should parade them through your kennel. That's not my point here. Because when you go to any store, restaurant, whatever, there's a work area that is not open to the public.
Right.
I mean, I think that's an acceptable concept that you don't have to go show them everything. You know, I mean, that's not germane to what they're there for. But that doesn't mean that you should try to keep your dogs and your everything on the down low. Because if the authorities feel as though someone is evading them,
right,
hiding out, that puts you in a bad light to start out with.
Right.
And so if you have a license available, consider it.
Well, and I think so many of us have gotten gun shy, right? Like, we don't want anyone to know we exist. We're just here, doody-doody-doo, minding our own business. And I think it's super valuable what you're saying, that changing our way of thinking about that, instead of trying to fly under the radar and not piss anybody off, be out there loud and proud. Hi, here I am. I am a dog kennel and I do this. And this is what it takes to go through the licensing process. And here I am. I've done it.
Right.
And it's an inoculation almost against people coming at you.
Absolutely. You've given your dogs legal standing, which is the safest, best thing you can do as an owner or a responsibility when you're taking care of other people's dogs, that they should have legal standing to be where they are.
Yep.
It also kind of maybe as an unintended consequence keeps things under control, like, okay, if I know that I may have to evacuate those dogs, I may need not to keep some of these older dogs. Maybe I need to place them in homes.
Right.
I really feel, especially as we get older, not that you and I are getting any older.
No, we're going backwards. I stopped counting. I'm getting younger.
We're rolling it back. That we tend to get more sentimental and more attached.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, this one should never be happy with anybody else.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? We really need to keep an honest, hard look on our numbers.
Yep.
Keep our numbers right so we can afford to do right with them, so we can afford to do the dentals. And if we are going to make allotments for older dogs, we need to be more aware. They take more work. Older dogs, older homes, everything older takes a little more work and a little bit more effort.
Yep.
So you keep up on those dentals, have your vet records in hand, you know, because those old dogs, when it comes time to be inspected and whatnot, they don't tend to look as good.
Right.
My breed, we can get eye ulcerations and stuff like that.
Sure.
If you have a dog with an injury or something like that, you should have that documented in their file.
There's a good one, Dale. Let's talk about paperwork and filing. I'm looking at my overflowing filing cabinets right now. So let's talk about it. I'm going to own it. This is one of my absolute areas of weakness. Let's talk about how do you keep track? What's your file management system? Give us some good tips here.
Well, this is a little bit of a shameless shout out for the American Kennel Club, but I'm a huge believer in their microchip program. We've
yep.
done it since the 90s. It keeps your dog safe in absolute identification. Should, God forbid, anything happen to you, that these dogs can be identified. So the microchipping, so fantastic. So you start out with your file. And it's kind of like eating an elephant. You do what you must do first. Then by the time you do what you should do, and then pretty soon you just have it done. And so you start out with that file with the dog's basic information, the papers, that whatever point of registration they're at. You have the chip number. Then you add your vaccination record. That file is the cheat sheet for that dog.
And each individual dog gets its own manila folder, its own hanging folder, its own Ziploc folder.
Absolutely. That way, that's where you're going to keep your litter records. You're going to keep your medical records. That's where you're going to go ahead and say, this dog has an ongoing skin problem. So if you have an inspection and come out there and they go, oh, that one doesn't look like it has good skin. You go, well, yes, you know, this is on thyroid, this or that. You can speak intelligently because you know you have control of what you have and you know what's going on. When we start to glob it together, that's when we begin to lose credibility and it gets messy. And it happens. The next thing you know, well, when did it get its shots? When did
right.
this happen?
Right.
But if you will keep that folder system going, it's so easy. There's also a couple of fantastic kennel books programs right now through the American Kennel Club. You know, Dog on Web, the Pet Exchange, if you're a more active or more prolific breeder, those are fantastic how you can really keep tabs on stuff like that, where you can even print off shot records for your litters and all that.
Right.
Makes a very professional, not a lot of money to do this. Most of these things we're talking about are not expensive. Our only expense is our time.
Yes. And like I said, if I have one thing that I'm going to completely own, it is the I'm that person that has piles, right? Like that's my filing system. And every time I look at them, I think I have to fix this. So shout out to everybody. I'm with you. We're going to fix this and we're going to be better because Dale gave us some great ideas.
Once you take that first step on it, and once you have those files done and you got them caught up and you don't make that be an option.
Right.
Because if you do it while it's little, it doesn't get to be a big problem. And I think that's where a lot of our people that get in trouble with their dogs or, you know, handlers, breeders, they think, well, I'm going to fix that. Next weekend, I'm going to fix that. I'm going to get that caught up next week. And I'm going to get that grooming caught up.
Yeah.
And pull that spiral folder out there or your ring binder and say, Thursday, we're going to do paperwork.
Yeah.
Friday, we're going to take an hour and we're going to get everyone caught up with shots.
Right.
You know, and just make that appointment for yourself because you are running it. And so you just allot that time, because that time is as important as watching your show on TV.
Well, I think it's probably more important. And I love that, what you just said. I think that's really awesome, because I've always, being a handler, X day is always bath day, or X day is always toenail day, or what have you. I'm used to those kinds of schedules. And so it makes sense to me to say, okay, every Tuesday from 9 to 11, I'm going to sit in here and file until such time as it doesn't look like somebody blew up a confetti bomb.
Well, and you'll be really amazed, because as you start to go through it and start to tend to it, it gets less and less and less,
right,
because it's
right.
Like, oh, I don't need this and I don't need that.
Right.
And then you look up and go, oh my gosh, that dog you kept back just the other day is now 5 years old and she doesn't come to heat anymore. You know, maybe you should give her to the girl at the vet clinic. You know, maybe she's ready for a lap.
Right.
You know, I mean, but when you stay on top of your things, you don't find yourself in those situations.
Right.
And we don't have to then go, I'm going to fix it. Set a time to fix it. Set
like
a time
it.
To take care of it.
Put it in your phone. That's how I do everything.
Oh, fantastic.
Like I schedule my interviews. I schedule everything else. Schedule bookkeeping for next Tuesday. Got it. I'm on it. I'm doing it right now. I'm literally sitting here talking to you, putting that in my phone.
It's no harder than knowing that entries close Wednesday at noon. It's
right.
No harder. If we can get entered in that, you know, and just a little something each time.
Right.
And then, and like I say, keep a really good eye on your municipality and see what you're up. Because if you are not allowed more dogs than you have, then look into the option of maybe guardian homes. Look at something where you can keep your numbers. Really, I guess the whole thing is, try not to break the rules, you know.
Yeah.
Try to follow the rules, because just because we have ribbons from the dog show does not exempt us from the rules.
Yep.
The rules are the rules, and they don't care that your dog won the group at the garden. If you have 35 dogs and you're only allowed to have 5 where you live, you're putting your dogs at jeopardy.
Yep. I think that is a good basic bottom line, and I think one that we forget. And so I think these are very, very good tips. And I want to talk, maybe next time we're going to talk about kennel plans. I had somebody actually ask me as a topic to go over actually designing kennel plans. So put that in your pipe.
Oh, designing kennels, that's the most fantastic, fun thing, especially when you got your breeds.
Exactly.
And where you live and your climate. Because ultimately, we maybe own the dogs, but the responsibility owns us back.
Exactly.
So if we don't take our responsibility seriously, then we put our ownership in jeopardy.
I love that. Okay, so that's going to be next month, y'all.
Fantastic.
All right, Dale, thank you so much. I just always really enjoy visiting with you.
It's the best. I just love it. You really go ahead and give us all permission to do better with our dogs, and for that, we should all be grateful.
As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our Dog Show Superintendents are the hardworking people who make the Dog Show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the Super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.